Senate Resources Committee to order today is Friday, March 24th, 2023. The time is 3:30 p.m. Please silence all cell phones. Members present today are Senators Dunbar, Co-Chair Geisel, Vice Chair Wilikowski, Senator Kawasaki, myself, Co-Chair Bishop, Senators Kaufman and Klayman, I believe, will be along momentarily. We'd like to thank Carrie Cooperwriter and Amanda Kraft today for helping us facilitate this meeting on today's agenda. We have SB 90, Extend the Alaska Minerals Commission, SB 34, Citizen Advisory Commission on Federal Areas, SB 87, the Lumber Grading Program, HJR 10, National Park Service Hunting and Preserve. So today we're going to start with SB 90. Before I get there, we do have these four bills before us today, so we're going to ask that everybody keep their testimony to 2 minutes. And if you have any additional testimony, you may email it to the committee at senate.resources@akledge.gov. First up is SB 90, Extend the Minerals Commission. We're going to go online, and we have nobody online. And in the room, would anybody like to testify on SB 90? Seeing a none, we're going to close public testimony. Okay, I'd like to set an amendment deadline on this bill as of Monday, March 27th at noon. Next up is SB 34, Citizen Advisory Committee on Federal Areas. I'd like to open public testimony on SB 34. And Co-Chair Geisel, did I do that? Yes, I did. I did that right. Citizens Advisory. Yep. So we got Mr. Randy Zarnke, Fairbanks, Alaska Trappers Association. Mr. Zarnke, please put yourself on the record, and I'm just open public testimony. 2 minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. As you indicated, my name is Randy Zarnke. I serve as the president of the Alaska Trappers Association. I'm here today to speak in support of the reauthorization of CACFA. I think we all understand why CACFA was created. When Congress passed the ANILCA, the Alaska legislature recognized that federal agencies could have direct impact on the lives of individual Alaskans. And if those individuals were to have any chance of defending their rights, they would need help. The CACFA staff would have knowledge of ANILCA itself and knowledge of how to interact with those federal agencies. About 25 years ago, I found myself in the position of that individual Alaskan. BLM is obligated by ANILCA to allow cabins for trappers on BLM land, but they were making the process as difficult as possible. As evidence of that, there were no applications for cabin permits on BLM land for about 30 years from the mid-80s up until about 2015. I was trying to fight BLM on my own, and suffice it to say that I failed. When I learned of CACFA, it was a godsend. They helped me immediately and immensely. There are other individuals around the state who need the same type of help to defend their rights against federal overreach. They can't do it on their own. The feds continue to deny access and activities which are guaranteed under ANILCA. The cost of CACFA to the state budget is minimal. The impact on individuals is huge. I implore you to vote to reauthorize the CACFA. That's the end of my testimony.
Thank you, Randy, and good to hear your voice. Okay. I see no one else online to testify. Anybody in the room wishing to testify on the Citizens Advisory Council? Seeing none, I'm closing public testimony. I'd like to set an amendment deadline for March 27th at noon on this bill. Okay, just let the record reflect, and I had mentioned it earlier, gentlemen, that Senators Kaufman and Klayman were away on other states' business, but we do have a full complement now, and the committee is full. So, next up, I'd like to open public testimony on Senate Bill 87, Lumber Grading Program. So, I'd like to open public testimony right now, and I believe we have three people online. We're going to start with Mr. Ed Martin in Kenai, and for those of you online, 2 minutes, please. Thank you. Mr. Martin, would you put yourself on the record and provide us with your testimony?
Yes, thank you, Chairman Bishop and other members of this committee. This is Ed Martin calling from 702 Lawton Street in Kenai. To give you a little bit of history, this should have probably took place many, many years ago, this kind of program. At one time, I worked for the Kenai Peninsula Borough in the early 90s when the beetle had hit our community of Cooper Landing, and Mayor Gilman hired me as a project manager. During that time, actually, a native corporation had bought out the sawmill that belonged to Louisiana Pacific. It really wasn't so much a sawmill as it was a pulp mill, and they had a market for pulp. Chugach Native Corporation created a mill there to make dimensional lumber. I toured that in support of that mill and was hoping and praying that an industry would get started in Alaska and utilization of our resources, even though the Tongass was being shut down at that time. I believe that the duty of the legislature is to actually do exactly these kind of things. Work with a program or create a program, if necessary, to get our resources into the market by whatever means industry standard requires. That being said, I hope you pass this bill, although I have one amendment. It seems to be catered to one industry, and it's the academic industry of the Alaska University of Alaska. There's other, and this is what I would request you make an amendment to. There's other people in the private sector that can do this service, and they may be able to do it cheaper than the university and not create other state unionized or otherwise jobs. I believe that we're suffering from that situation now, and we shouldn't add to it. I believe that you, it should be, by amendment, that it goes out through whatever funding request for proposals and then spend that money or fund it. So that's the only reservation I have. I hope you understand that's a wise statement, and it's a fiscally responsible statement.
Thank you.
Next and up, that you move forward with that.
Mr. Mayor Dial in Ketchikan.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Rodney Dial. I'm the Ketchikan Gateway Borough Mayor, and we wanted to call in today and offer our support for Senate Bill 87. Our community, like most, is experiencing a severe housing crisis that is also impacting our ability to develop our economy. And it has gotten so bad here that one business bought a surplus state ferry last year and is turning it into housing for employees. We've also heard that state DOT will be using one of their ferries as a hotel ship in Ketchikan for state employees this summer. So housing is rapidly increasing in price for our community beyond the reach of many, and for others, it's simply not attainable due to. It's been a main focus of borough management and the assembly for several years now. And it's frustrating for us because it feels like for every step forward, we're taking two steps back in our efforts to address this problem. So we're looking at every potential way to encourage new construction of affordable housing. And just kind of as a note, during the pandemic, we saw lumber prices add approximately $30,000 in additional costs for the average home built here. And we had $12 2x4s and $150 sheets of plywood. And those high lumber prices were made even worse as shipping rates increased. And the cost and availability of lumber is somewhat ironic for us in that more than 96% of our borough is forest land, and we've had active timber industries here in the past. And many of our historical homes in Ketchikan, and most of them were built with locally produced lumber. So anyway, we see this bill as a way to increase local access access to affordable lumber, supporting affordable housing, and hopefully creating new jobs in the process. We're well aware this will not solve our housing crisis, but it has the potential to help. And in cases of supply shortages, it really could fill an important need. So please consider supporting this bill, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next, we're going to Joe Young in Tok. Mr. Young, could you put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
Okay, my name is Joe Young, owner of Young's Timber Inc. in Tok and a big supporter of SB 87. Thank you, Co-Chair Senator Bishop and Senator Gazelle and the rest of the Senate Resources Committee members for allowing me to testify on Senate Bill 87. Young's Timber Inc. has been in business since 1993 and has four different types of sawmills producing a wide range of value-added products and 12 employees. Quality, white spruce lumber is one of these value-added products. Young's Timber Inc. gets a lot of positive comments from its customers on the quality of lumber it produces compared to the lumber quality that's imported from the lower 48 and Canada into the state of Alaska. Yet Young's Timber Inc.'s lumber isn't graded or certified, and to be certified, it is cost prohibitive trying to bring a grader from the lower 48 to certify. Alaska spruce is comparable to Douglas fir in test loads, compression strength, and elasticity. Senate Bill 87 Lumber Grading Program, Lumber Grading Certificates, and the use of graded and certified lumber will not only greatly increase Young Timber Inc.'s lumber sales, but the lumber sales of all Alaska lumber producers. Senate Bill 87 will create timber industry jobs and affordable rural housing. I recommend to the Senate Resources Committee to pass Senate Bill 87. And then on another note, I have this: the Alaska value-added producers need access to a reliable, steady, and long-term supply of Alaska state timber for success. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Young. Senator Klayman.
Mr. Young, thank you for your testimony. I'm just curious, the mills that you have ownership interest in here in Alaska, how many board feet do your mills collectively produce a year here in Alaska?
Approximately 500,000 board feet.
Thank you very much.
Seeing no further questions, nobody else is online. Anyone in the room wishing to testify on Senate Bill 87? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. And I'd like to set an amendment deadline by Wednesday, March 29th. That's March 29th at noon on this bill. Next up is HJR 10, National Park Service Hunting and Preserves, on to our last order of business. HJR 10 is a companion to SJR 8, which we've heard in committee on Monday. I'd like to welcome the sponsor, Representative Kronk, and his staff, Mr. Stancliff, to the table to give us an overview of this legislation.
Thank you, Co-Chair Bishop and the Senate Resources Committee. Mike Kronk, District 36, and my staff to my right.
Dave Stancliff, staff to Representative Kronk.
HJR 10 is a resolution that lays out the history of Alaska's right to manage its fish and wildlife. And it further lays out the erosion, the most recent erosion of those rights. This expresses strenuous objection to the National Park Service incursion into Alaska's management, prohibiting longstanding hunting practices out under state law. No matter how our opinions may differ on management practices, there should be no disagreement about our own state's right to manage our fish and wildlife. Entertain any questions you may have.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? We're going to go to public comment now. Thank you, Representative Croft, for that overview. I'm going to go to Nancy. Excuse me. Brief at ease. We're going to open public testimony. Nancy Bale in Anchorage. Nancy Bale, if you can hear us, 2 minutes, please.
Good afternoon, Chair Bishop and Vice Chair Neisel and members of the Senate Resources Committee. Thanks for hearing testimony on this resolution. My name is Nancy Bale, and I've been a resident of Alaska since 1971. For many years, I lived out in the bush. My husband and I built a cabin on the Tanzona River, and we were part of one of the last groups of citizens, actually, that were able to obtain land in Alaska under the Homestead Act. We lived out there for 20 years, working summers at a lodge right outside then McKinley Park, which became Denali National Park, as you all know, in 1980. In 1996, I moved to Anchorage full-time after finishing nursing school, and I'm currently working as a school nurse. Based on my experiences in a variety of activities and living in a variety of places, both rural and urban, I support the NPS Preserves rule, which I consider to be fair and impactful in a good way. When you ponder HJR 10 and SJR 8, I ask that you consider 3 points. And here's what I believe would happen under the rule. Contrary to some assertions, the state of Alaska would continue to manage all hunting on preserves, that there would just be some activities such as bear baiting, hunting wolves in summer, hunting sows and cubs, bear sows and cubs together, and hunting swimming caribou that would be outlawed. Most all other hunting activities would be carried on as usual. The feds would manage subsistence hunting in the preserves, which they do now. Second, contrary to some assertions, federal bans of certain activities that conflict with their management policies are not overreach, and there's plenty of case law that shows that the feds can reasonably regulate on their land. The key is reasonable. And this regulation that is proposed is reasonable. It does not ban near 50% of the activities that already occur on the preserves, which are only 6% of Alaska land mass. And finally, Alaskans will still have plenty of hunting opportunities on the preserves. As you all probably know, there was an identical rule to this one that's proposed that was in place from 2015 to 2020 with no serious conflicts on only 6% of the land mass. I'm one of those Alaskans that likes the preserves rule, and when I look at HJR 10 and SJR 8, I urge you not to forward them on. And thanks for the opportunity to stay late and listen to testimony on a Friday afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Nicole Schmidt in Anchorage. Nicole, if you can hear us, put yourself on the record in 2 minutes, please.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Nicole Schmidt. I am a resident of Anchorage, and I'm also the executive director of the Alaska Wildlife Alliance. And our organization has been involved in this rule for a long time, and it's a long and complicated process. I appreciate Ms. Bale's comments on this as well. And I think the main points that I hope to bring to the committee today regarding this rule is that the issues in this rule are very nuanced. They are very specific. And I caution that resolutions like these take very detailed rules and biologically informed rulemaking processes and elevate them into these political grandstands, and I think that the rule deserves looking into what those nuances, because as the previous testifier said, there will still be predator hunting allowed in the preserves with this rule. Predator control and predator hunting are very different, and statutorily and also different in regulation. And there is still the opportunity for Alaskans to present proposals for different hunting practices to the Board of Game, to the Federal Subsistence Board. This rule changes none of that. It would simply make certain practices unlawful on the preserves, but there will still be ample opportunity to hunt and for Alaskans, both federally qualified subsistence and non. Non-federally qualified users would not be able to use the preserves as the current regulations stand anyway. And so I think it's just, instead of grandstanding this to kind of make it bigger than what it is, I really encourage you to look at the details of the Park Service's concern about bear baiting stations and public safety, how they came to those conclusions, what mandates the Park Service is legally obligated to manage to, and how those differ from the state, and not just vote on this as a passion of states' rights, but really looking at what the details of this rule are. And I think you'll find that they came after years of biological and agency review. So I encourage you not to support this resolution, and if there are concerns about the rule, to do so in the public comment period. This is a proposed rule, so there's still another draft, and those comments will be due on Monday afternoon. Thank you.
That's all of our public comment online. Anyone in the room wishing to testify? Public testimony is now closed. The committee had set a previous amendment deadline. No amendments were received. I would now look to Co-Chair Giesel for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House Joint Resolution Number 10, Work Order 33, LS0562/A-alpha, from committee with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Seeing no objections, the bill moves from committee. Announcements Monday, March 27th, 3:30 p.m. on the agenda. It's going to be all about all day, all afternoon on the Alaska Bycatch Review Task Force overview. And we are adjourned at 3:52.